If you've ever found yourself frustrated by the speed of your internet, either at home or at work, well, you are not alone. According to a recent report from the technology firm Speedtest, Wisconsin lags behind the rest of the nation when it comes to internet speeds, ranking 49th among states and the District of Columbia.
In addition to slow speeds, there are also parts of the state where just getting broadband is a challenge, if not impossible. Because of all this, some say Wisconsin is falling behind economically.
Barry Orton joins us now. He's an emeritus professor of telecommunications at UW-Madison. He's also the chairman of the Madison Citywide Broadband Subcommittee. Barry, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, I'm guessing that some people might hear this and think, well, you know, people are never happy. They're just grumbling about what feels like slow internet. But put this into perspective for us. In 2016, how important is it to have fast connection speeds?
Well, it's important for most businesses, most farmers these days, certainly most students over third or fourth grade. Most people who have a social life on the internet, gamers, government, there aren't too many institutions that haven't migrated in some way, shape, or form to be dependent on connections to the outside world via the net.
And looking at the variety of download speeds in this report, we've got Kansas, which tops the list at 82 megabits per second. Compare that for us to Wisconsin, where the average speed was 28.59 megabits per second. How much of a difference is that when people are actually using the internet?
Well, it's significant. And we're talking download speed here.
Right.
That's a significant difference. And again, if you're watching something on the internet or you're doing something and you all of a sudden you get this lag or the screen freezes for a second and then you're sort of catching up, that's essentially a speed issue. It's actually even worse than the numbers show on that survey, because the real problem in Wisconsin is upload speeds, which are, the upload speeds are significantly slower than the download speeds in most situations. And so anybody who's using the internet professionally, who wants to, for example, send a large file of a picture or an x-ray or a blueprint or something like that, the upload speeds are significant. And that's where we really lag.
And why are upload speeds and download speeds different?
Because most of the providers of internet are worried about download speeds. Most, the average consumer is mostly downloading. They're watching something. They're receiving a file. They're getting a picture. They're not so much sending as receiving. But as I said, the professionals who are using this really need that upload speed as well. And that's where some of the lags really are. Now, the report is kind of weird because it tries to rank states, and each state is different depending on who the carriers in the state are and how rural the state is. Generally, the more rural the state is, the less average speeds you're going to see on a statewide basis, because you're throwing in people who are essentially still in the dial-up era into that mix. But it also depends very much on who the incumbent carriers are, the AT&Ts, the TDSs, the CenturyLinks, Frontier, Verizon, and so on. Now, Verizon has product they call Fios, which is a fiber-based product where they run a fiber line into your home. So it's extremely fast, up and down. So states that are Verizon states will generally have faster uploads than other states. We're not a Verizon state. Verizon doesn't have that fiber product. What we're really dependent here on the state, in the state, are legacy services such as AT&T, which is trying to squeeze all its internet through the last mile, which is copper wire, the same old cable copper wire that you had for phones many years ago. It's the, they run fiber to a network, to a neighborhood node or a box somewhere in your neighborhood. And from there, it goes back and squeezes everything into that copper wire. So they're using, they originally used that for telephone service, and then they tried to squeeze internet onto it, and in some cases they're squeezing television services onto it. And so as a consequence, the speeds are slow, and they're, they essentially, the pipes get clogged. The other in kinds of incumbent carriers in the state that figure into that formula are the cable companies. The cable companies have a slightly more robust system. They have fiber to get into a neighborhood, and then they run coaxial cable, the original cable television cable, into your home. Coaxial cable was essentially originally designed to carry television pictures, television signals. Then they squeeze the internet onto it, and now voice onto it as well. It's a slightly more robust system, but it still is limited. The ideal system, which is what we're trying to explore here in Madison, is a fiber to the premises system, where essentially you have a fiber optic wire, and that's kind of a contradiction in terms. It's a fiber optic cable that goes directly into the home, directly into the business, and it really is significantly faster, both downloading and uploading. So Fios has that. I think Kansas is fast because Google Fiber has a project in Kansas City, and that probably changes the dynamic for the Kansas numbers.
We're talking with Barry Orton, Professor Emeritus of Telecommunications at UW-Madison, talking about why Wisconsin is lagging behind most every other state in internet speeds. And Barry, one of the things that you mentioned as far as comparing different states is that states that have higher rural populations tend to have slower speeds because of the access issues. So I'm guessing that that also means that looking at Wisconsin, the people who are living in urban areas are benefiting from faster speeds than people in living in what is really most of the state.
Right. Again, the cable companies only stopped at the borders of cities and towns. They didn't go into the very rural areas. They might serve a village, but they won't go outside of town because the economics are such you don't run the wire where you don't have enough customers to make the money you're looking to make. Those rural folks had the same kind of lag back in the early part of the last century when it came to electricity and telephones. And it took federal dollars through the Rural Electrification Act in the 1930s to finally bring the electricity and then the telephone wires to the farms of the state. And essentially it was large federal subsidies of rural telephone cooperatives, rural electric companies, rural electric cooperatives, those kinds of organizations that finally brought those wires to the farms, to the very rural areas of the state. What we're looking at now is there are some programs, they're fairly small nationally, that are starting to bring federal dollars into the area of expanding broadband. Back in 2011, Governor Walker turned down $23 million of federal dollars to expand broadband in Wisconsin. So we started from behind, and we've lagged even in terms of using federal dollars to do this.
In your opinion, Barry, is there a role that government should play in making sure that citizens, wherever they live, have access to fast internet?
Absolutely. It goes on two levels. First, I think there should be significant. It's essentially infrastructure. And just as like we're going to be investing again, I hope, in roads and bridges, we should also be investing in wires and broadband on a national level. In addition, there are some state laws that essentially make broadband pretty much a marketplace commodity. We deregulated telephone, we deregulated broadband from the State Public Service Commission oversight in general over the last 10 or 15 years. A series of laws essentially said, well, let's leave this to the private sector. So there's a role for government in making sure that internet, and here we're talking really broadband, just like electricity and just like telephone used to be considered, it should be considered like a public utility, something that all citizens should have access to equally and on a reasonable level, and the providers should be regulated accordingly. We've deregulated them here in the state. And again, as I said, we've really depended on the private sector. We took the university out of the internet provision business by law. We took other public entities out. And as I said, we've turned down significant amounts of federal dollars to do this. And so as a consequence of all these things together, government has essentially, here in Wisconsin, said, well, it's up to the providers in the marketplace. And if they don't provide equivalent service or good service to very rural areas, or in some cases very urban areas, that's because the marketplace doesn't support that, and we feel the marketplace is the ultimate arbiter of this, and I disagree.
We're talking right now about slow internet speeds in Wisconsin and what, if anything, can be done about it. Our guest is Barry Orton, an emeritus professor of telecommunications at UW-Madison.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How's the connection speed in your part of the state? Do you wish it was faster? Can you get broadband at all? What impact does this have on your work, on your life? And what do you think should be done, if anything, to make a change? Call 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now about slow internet speeds in Wisconsin. According to a recent report from the technology firm Speedtest, Wisconsin lags behind the rest of the nation when it comes to internet speeds, ranking 49th among states and the District of Columbia. So what's going on?
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think Wisconsin is lagging behind the rest of the nation when it comes to internet speeds? And what, if anything, should be done about it? That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Barry, meanwhile, here in Madison, an effort is underway to try and create a citywide broadband network. You're chairman of the city's Digital Technology Committee, which is looking into the feasibility of that. What would this project look like if it's successful, and what would it take to put it into place?
Quick correction. I'm chairman of the subcommittee looking at this, of the Digital Technology Committee. And the we're basically looking at the possibility of the city putting essentially dark fiber throughout the city and letting the private sector then connect to individual homes with fiber and do the actual service. So the city would essentially own the large part of the infrastructures, like it owns the streets mm-hmm. and everything else, the water pipes and so on, and then let the private sector serve individual companies. Individual subscribers. And we could have one or more private companies doing that. We'd essentially be a partnership. So we just got a study that essentially priced a lot of this out, and it's not cheap. It's about $150 million for the city's portion of this, and then a private company or companies would put in another $50 or $60 million to serve each individual business and household. It's a long-term capital project that might be eligible for some federal dollars next year. We might be one of those shovel-ready infrastructure projects that we're hoping that we see funding coming down the pipe for. But even if we're not, that it's possible that with a private sector partner, we could amortize this, the cost of this over time, and make this affordable for citizens. What this would mean is we would have ubiquitous fiber to every place in the city that wanted it. And that would mean a real leg up for telecommuters, for professionals who have home-based businesses, for people connected to the university or even non-university people who do large amounts of research or reading online. It certainly would help high school kids, and it certainly would help people who are now in areas that don't have that kind of service, or those that can't afford it. The city could, in fact, subsidize that. And we have a pilot project now that the city is doing in four neighborhoods in the city where we're actually subsidizing an internet service for people in poverty. So the city is going to be facing a fundamental question, and this is the city council will decide this, as to whether the city should get into the internet or the broadband infrastructure business, or it should leave it completely to the private sector as it is now.
Let's go to the phones, and Steve in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi. So the reason why I called, they're right next door in Minnesota. We have 25 different communities that just banded together, and they formed a cooperative in order to give themselves higher internet speeds. And so the way that this works, each and every customer for this cooperative that they've formed is a member within the cooperative, which allows them to negotiate their own rates going forward. And actually what they found is that as long as their estimates for demand are accurate, they're going to actually pay lower internet rates than what they're currently paying. It will pay for the project, and I believe it's either 5 or 10 years based on the demand that they anticipate. And they're going to have average speeds of up to 100 times the national average, about 1 gigabit per second. So I heard our guest's idea about dishing Madison's project off to the private sector. I don't like that idea. I think we need to be looking at making this a community-funded effort where the members of the community can actually have a say in what the rates are going forward.
Okay, Steve, we'll leave it there so Barry has a chance to respond. What about that idea?
I think it's a great idea. There are co-ops around the country that are doing this. Again, it's an old model. That's how electricity got to a lot of rural areas. That's how cable television got to Trempealeau County, Wisconsin, through a co-op. A co-op is a great idea, and I'm not against the city doing this on its own. The problem with a city like Madison is to do this well, you really have to gear up to serve the general public with, like a utility does, and it means you need a help desk, and you need people who are willing to come and help people hook up. And I think that can be done, but it's a big stretch for a large city like Madison. It's a smaller stretch to do it in a place that has either an electric utility already on a city basis like Reedsburg.
And in just a minute that we have left, Barry, on a global scale, American internet speeds tend to pale in comparison to many other developed nations. Is this going to hurt us in the coming years economically?
It could. Again, it depends on what kind of fundamental decisions we make as to who controls this and who owns it. At the moment, the American system is based on the existing incumbent carriers, the phone and cable companies, and they serve the general public. Many of the countries where it's much faster, this is being done on a federal level nationally. And I don't think we're going to go that way in the United States.
Well, Barry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Barry Orton, Emeritus Professor of Telecommunications at UW-Madison. He's also the chairman of the Madison Citywide Broadband Subcommittee. He joined us to talk about slow broadband internet speeds in Wisconsin.